best to explain it. You've seen me in X-Men.
Yeah.
The character I am, Professor Charles Xavier, if you remember, he can control things with the power of his mind, you know, make people do things and see things. So I thought, what if you can do that for real? I mean, not in a comic book world, but in the real world.
All right.
So in my film, I play a man who controls the world with his mind.
Right. That's interesting.
Yeah, for instance, I'm walking along. And I see this beautiful girl, and I think I'd like to see her naked, and so all her clothes fall off.
All her clothes fall off?
Yes, and she's scrabbling around to get them back on again, but even before she can get her knickers on, I've seen everything. You know, I've seen it all.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. We've already seen everything.
Okay. It's a comedy, is it?
No.
Dave Radio, Fridays at noon on CITR.
Wow, wow, Dave, you're so sway. Oh, Dave, I like your shave.
And we're the Daves. I'm David Badanek.
I'm Dave Campbell.
I'm Dave Frank.
We're the Daves.
And you're listening to CITR FM 101.9.
CITR Radio.
And these are the Daves of our lives.
It is Friday, the 4th of September, 2015. This is Dave Radio with Radio Dave on the radio. We are broadcasting live on CITR 101.9 FM, underlooking the atrium of the Palatial Student Nest on the Musqueam territory of Ulksen, better known to you as the Point Grey Campus of the University of British Columbia. On the program today, we'll meet playwright and novelist Cece Humphreys, whose new play, Shakespeare's Rebel, continues to thrill audiences at Bard on the Beach, and we got a couple of tickets to give away, too. We'll preview a couple of big music events this weekend, including the CITR Victory Square Block Party on Sunday, and our usual rundown of what to do and where to go this weekend. It's Vancouver's go-to hour for local theater, film, and music, and it starts right now. Don't touch that dial. And we're going to kick off with some music. There is a big deal going on at the Fairview this weekend. It's the International Pop Overthrow Vancouver. This is a thing that's been going on for 10 years now. It's a four-night event. It closes tonight and tomorrow night. Lots of great local stuff. There's like six or eight bands a night. It's all at the Fairview at Broadway and Heather. And it's only $10 to get in, so you know, like it's a bargain on top of it. We got lots of bands, including CITR alumnus, and or is it alumnex because she's female? Anyway, Janice McKenzie and her band, the Diviners, are going to be performing tomorrow night. But tonight, kicking off at 8 o'clock, it's good friends of the show, Edmonton Block Heater. This is what they sound like.
Dream of you again, the stamps so filthy and so real. How I hate how good
That's Edmonton Block Heater, and as I said before, they are going to be playing at the Fairview Pub tonight, along with Cass King, The Written Years, Graham Brown, Chimpan Zebras, and a band called TBA. Actually, I think you know what that means. Let's move on. Bar to the Beach is still going strong. They've got about another month left. And one of the plays is written by someone who's actually still alive. Yeah, they've been doing this for the last two or three years, or maybe a little bit more now, where they have three plays written by Shakespeare, and then they include one that is written by someone else. Usually about Shakespeare, and oftentimes Will Shakespeare is a character himself in the play. Like last year, it was Equivocation, and the year before, it was Elizabeth Rex. This year, we have the distinction of having a local playwright performing, and they'll be performing the works of a local playwright. The play is called Shakespeare's Rebel, and it is based on a novel. The play and the novel are both written by C.C. Humphreys, who lives on Salt Spring Island, and he had the courtesy of getting in touch with us on the telephone, and we had a great conversation, and so this is it.
Here I am, the UBC graduate student returning to the alma mater to talk.
So when were you a student here?
I graduated only 3 months ago.
Oh,
in
really?
May. May the 20th I graduated, yeah.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Thank you so much. Uh-huh. Yes, I got my my MFA in creative writing.
Well done. Well done. We're all proud of you.
Thank you.
Yes. So the play we're talking about is Shakespeare's Rebel, which is on at Bard on the Beach right now. And this is based on a novel of yours.
That's right.
Yeah. So this is let's talk a little bit about the story itself and what the audience can expect when they come to see it. So first of all, who is Shakespeare's Rebel?
Shakespeare's Rebel, it really refers to the Earl of Essex. So even though he's not the main character in the play, he's a very important character, as he was in the history of the time. But he's the rebel because he's the man who led the last great attempt to overthrow the government in Elizabeth's reign in 1601. And he was her former, depends on who you talk to, but really, but he was her last great love. She was 66. He was in his 30s. He was a very charismatic nobleman who really felt that he was due a higher position, especially as the queen favored him. And when he fell out of favor and he grew desperate, he decided to launch a coup d'etat, really against his perceived enemy, Sir Robert Cecil, who was complete contrast to him. Sir Robert Cecil was the sort of rather Machiavellian master secretary of state and was the big rival for Elizabeth's
It really was a struggle for the person who would have the influence over the queen rather than trying to topple her herself.
Absolutely, yes, yes. It was whoever could control her could control the realm.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Elizabeth had her own ideas about who, she's famously survived so long because she had very distinct ideas about who would rule and all that, and she had a great deal of power. But Essex he was charismatic, but I don't think he was, altogether, he wasn't really a bright and super clever politician. He really just felt, these are my rights as the noblest man in England, and I'm going to take them. So that was the big problem for him.
Right, and so how does Shakespeare come into all this?
Well, the whole journey began for me when I was writing Shakespeare's Rebel, the novel, in an exploration of what the blazes was going on in the realm, in London, in Shakespeare's life, that caused him to write what many regard as the greatest game changer in literature, which was the tragedy of Hamlet. It changed everything, really. And, what was going on? And that was my fascination, because I've always been fascinated with Hamlet ever since I played Hamlet in Calgary, because I'm also an actor, mm-hmm. and I played him in 1994. And so I just decided to explore the world that Hamlet sprang out of, because Shakespeare wrote very much for the times he was living in. You know, almost, they say he'd be writing soap operas today, because he was, or you know, HBO dramas, because he was writing about the world that existed for a people who had no other outlet to explore that world except at the Globe Theatre with that extraordinary company of actors. So Shakespeare was not only writing entertainment, which was his prime function, but he was also, you know, giving almost a public forum for ideas that you weren't allowed to discuss, because England was pretty close to a police state then. You know, ideas of regicide and usurpation of the throne and rebellion and succession, all those ideas that were forbidden to be talked about in the normal way. Shakespeare, you know, chose old stories, supposedly old stories, and gave the currency, you know, it put it on the stage of the Globe Theatre.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that, this reminds me, last year's non-Shakespeare production at Bard, Equivocation, sort of looked at similar influences. It looked at the gunpowder plot over King James, and showed how those politics reflected, and I can't remember which play it was, but the play that Shakespeare was writing at the time.
It was Macbeth.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah. So again, a very good example 5 years later of Shakespeare writing to the times. So that began the journey for me. I mean, not only my love of Hamlet, but also I suppose it was a metaphor for everything, but it was a very practical one in my love of sword play and sword fighting. Because the main character in the play is not the Earl of Essex, is not the rebel, but is his discontented follower, John Lawley, who is Shakespeare's oldest friend, who is an actor himself, who's also England's finest swordsman, and is all he wants to do is be left alone, basically, to try to win back the woman he loves, to be a father to the son he's estranged from. And the trouble is he keeps getting sucked back into the madness of the Earl of Essex, because he's kind of his man, he's been to war with him, he's guarded his back for years. So he's the main character, John Lawley, this flawed, somewhat drunk, brilliant swordsman, and you know, very a man on a journey, a man trying to put his life right. You know, he's got old. He says at one point in both works, in the novel and the play, he says, "I'm one missed parry from oblivion," and he knows he's got to stop doing all that. He knows, but people won't let him. The forces at work in the realm. Yeah. At this time, will not let him.
And so is Lawley also working with Shakespeare?
Yes, absolutely. I had a lot of fun with that, because both the novel and the play are great fun as well.
Right. They're not, right. They're, so he acts as sort of a link between the two realms, the realm of the theater and the realm of the realm of the queen.
Very much so, yeah. And he really just wants to be involved in the theatre, but he keeps getting sucked into he's just a commoner, and he keeps getting sucked into the Queen's orbit and Essex's orbit, and, you know, the target of Cecil's plots and all that, which is, but all he wants to be is really an actor. But he, you know, he's got these demons, and he has to fight them, and they lead him astray. But Shakespeare, I have a lot of fun with the fact that, you know, essentially he discovered Shakespeare. You know, he stole him when they were two actors short in their company in Stratford in 1586, you know, and took, you know, stole him from his wife, stole him from his family, got him on the road as an actor. A friend of mine came to see it recently and said, "Well, you've basically written a love letter to the theatre, haven't you?" Because I love actors, you know, and I love plays, and, you know, I haven't been an actor for, well, God, 4 decades now. You know, I love that world, and I have great sympathy for the trials and tribulations and temptations of the actor.
You're right. Wonderful. And so the audience is going to get a full experience then, because we're, you know, get the backstage intrigue, we're getting the royal politics, and hopefully lots of swordplay and action that way as well.
Yes, I mean, I tried to emulate the master. I'm a huge fan of Shakespeare, and I tried to create a Shakespearean plot, really. You know, that amazing ability he had to go from, you know, high drama to low comedy almost within a breath. And, you know, going from scenes of intense political intrigue to scenes of debauchery, going from, you know, the drama of a street fight with rapiers and backswords to the domesticity of life in on the streets as well, you know. So that's really what I hope to do, and I, you know, it's up to other people to judge if I I succeeded or not, but it's meant to be what Shakespeare would have done at the Globe. Mm-hmm. You know, it's set really on a stage like the Globe. You know, it's very simple in terms of production. You know, there's costumes and there's a few props, but it's basically people on a platform speaking words.
Yeah.
And so that's what I tried to do. I wanted people to laugh and cry and think for a bit and then laugh some more. So, you know, it's an entertainment.
Yeah, and you've had the good fortune to have the company of Bard on the Beach supporting you on this. You've got a terrific cast led by Ben Campbell as John Lawley.
That's right. Yes, yeah. And not only that. I mean, Bard. Of course, I've been associated with my first job in Canada was at Bard in '91, playing Oberon in Dream. Mm-hmm. And when I moved out from England, and so I've been associated with them and Christopher Gaze. But also, going back to the sort of beginning of our conversation, UBC was a huge influence because when Christopher Gaze and I first chatted about this possibility of adapting this novel, I was coming into my final year at UBC on my degree, and I thought, my God, well, I need to find a thesis to write anyway, so why don't I adapt my novel into a play?
Mm-hmm.
So I killed two birds with one stone, and then I got the top dramaturge, you know, one of the best men in Canada, or perhaps, you know, perhaps in the world, Martin Kinch, who's the professor in the creative writing department. He became my thesis advisor. So I had the benefit of this extraordinary mind and experience to help me shape the play right through. And he stayed with the production as dramaturge as well. So that was an enormous influence. So UBC was terribly helpful for me that way.
Wow. What do you do for an encore?
Yeah, you're right. I don't know, really. I've got lots of ideas bubbling around.
Yeah.
We'll just see which one of them lands.
Yeah.
One thing I do have to say as well, just of interest to your students there, that Bard is now offering $20 student tickets. You know, knowing that, you know, we're all going back to school and it's and, you know, there's lots of demands on money. So for the last 2 weeks of the run, you know, I hope my fellow students or former fellow students will come down and see the show.
Wonderful. Terrific. And you have another novel that's just come out, or it's about to come out?
Well, actually, there was a novel that came out while I was in my final year, because
mm-hmm.
obviously I kept up my... and that was called... that is called Plague, and
right.
that's a serial killer story set during the Great Plague of London.
Ooh.
And that actually... It was a pretty interesting week, the week of May the 20th, because I collected my degree, you know, wore the mortarboard on the 20th. On
yeah.
the 23rd, my play went into production at Bard on the Beach, and on the 28th, I was in Toronto winning the Arthur Ellis Award for Best Crime Novel in Canada for Plague. So that was a hell of a week.
That's a pretty clever idea. That's a great cover for a serial killer to be working during the Great Plague.
Yes, indeed. Well, yes, exactly. Well, I always try to do that. I try to set my adventures and stories against some sort of big backdrop, and
yeah.
I'm following up Plague with Fire, which, because the Great Plague was 1665, and then the Great Fire of London was 1666.
Right.
So the story continues in that, and that novel will be out next year.
All right. Well, now that we have your number, we should have you back on again when that comes out.
Be delighted to return. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for spending some time once we finally got connected.
Yeah, it's been great.
And I hope all goes well, and that we have a great final run at Bard, and we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks very much. Yeah, I don't know why it faded out at the end there. That was kind of weird. But Shakespeare's Rebel continues at Bard on the Beach until the 19th of September. And as he said, that was C.C. Humphreys, the playwright. As he said... tickets for students are only $20 until the end of the run, so there's a pretty good deal for you there. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I think there's about 10 or 11 performances left, for another couple of weeks. So you have plenty of chances to get there. And for an extra $20 on Wednesday the 9th, you can go down for the wine festival night and do some wine tasting before you go to see the show. So that should be good, too. And we also have a pair of tickets to give away. So give us a call at 604-822-2487, which is 604-UBC-CITR, for those of you that know how to use the letters on your touch tone. And give us a call right now and answer this question. Bard on the Beach has done other plays in the past where they have had actors playing William Shakespeare. So if you can name one of those actors, then we'll give you tickets to see Shakespeare's Rebel. So give us a call, 604-822-2487. And while we're waiting for the call, we're going to hear another band that's playing up at the International Pop Music Overthrow at the Fairmont tonight. This is the Written Years. Fairview.
Music Waste and CITR present the 11th Annual Victory Square Block Party, Sunday, September 6th, from 2 to 9 p.m.
Celebrate the end of summer and support non-profit media organizations with a splurge of local bands.
Woolworm, Ramsey, Alert Jesus, Cave Girl, Gal Grayson, Fake Tears, Whitney Kay, Twin River.
As well as Christy Lee and DJs Owen Ellis and BBU.
Come listen to performers or tune in to 101.9 FM or CITR.ca for an all-day live broadcast with plenty of on-air personalities and interviews with the bands.
Help us make it the best Sunday of September, the Victory Square Block Party, September 6th from 2 to 9 p.m.
Stressed lately? UBC Yoga Club is here to offer you a peace of mind. Come out to any of our 17 weekly classes running 7 days a week, ranging from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. We have a class to accommodate your needs and abilities. Check us out at ubcyogaclub.com.
Still waiting for the phone. Still waiting for someone to call in and claim. All you have to do is pick up the phone, dial 604-822-2487, and say, Bob Fraser. And then you got the tickets, just like that. Now I'm starting to sound like I'm begging, so never mind. Let's take a look and see what else is going on stage this weekend. Jericho Arts Center, they are doing the play that we talked about last week, A Man for All Seasons. This is a play about King Henry VIII and his closest advisor, Sir Thomas More, who became an adversary when Henry was trying to divorce his first wife. It's on from now until the end of the month, and it's definitely worth checking out. So that's at the Jericho Arts Center on down at the foot of Discovery Street. At the Havana Theater, they're doing a Fringe Festival preview. And they've got four shows that are going to be part of the Fringe Festival this summer. And so you get a chance to check it out before the Fringe Festival starts. Tonight, they'll be showing Spilling Family Secrets and Titus the Musical. And then tomorrow night, it will be The Birdman in Momentous Timing and A Closer Walk with Jean Chrétien. Jacques Lalande himself will be on stage again tomorrow night at the Havana. Down at Metro, let's see. No, that one is over, so I'm going to skip that one and move on to the next one, which is up on the big screen at the Rio. They've got, of course, the phone is ringing now. Just hold on. I can't answer the phone when I'm talking, but just don't hang up. I'll be with you in a sec. Let's see. At the Rio Theater, they're showing Jurassic World, which is the brand new Jurassic Park movie, plus a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles double bill. And if you come in costume, you save $2. $8 if you come in costume to the Rio tonight. The original TMNT movie at 9:30, and then The Secret of the Ooze, Turtles 2, at 11:30 tonight. Tomorrow night, Jurassic World again. And then at 7 o'clock tomorrow, they're showing Amy, the documentary about Amy Winehouse. And then Turbo Kid at 9:45. And then Amy again on Sunday at 9 o'clock and Jurassic World at 7. And that's it. Bard on the Beach is still going on, but everything else is sort of gearing up for the Fringe Festival, which starts on Thursday night down on Granville Island, as well as several other assorted venues throughout town. And be listening. CITR is going to be broadcasting live from the Fringe Bar on Granville Island down on Railspur Alley starting at 6 o'clock on Thursday night. I'll be there along with Jake and Robin from Up on the Roof. And we're going to be talking with a lot of the performers, actors, writers, directors, who are going to be highlighted in this year's Fringe Festival. So come on down, say hi, or tune in Thursday at 6 o'clock. So that's it. That's our look at what's going on stage this weekend. As I said, next week is going to be all kinds of excitement with the Fringe Festival. Can't wait for that to start. And, of course, we've got the Victory Square Block Party that is happening this weekend. Lots of great stuff. That's going on at Victory Square, which is down at Hastings and Canby Street. Starts at 2 o'clock. It's free all day. All your favorite CITR personalities will be there, plus lots of great local bands. Ramsey's going to be there, and Cal Grayson, Fake Tears, and Cave Girl. And I hadn't heard Cave Girl before, but I'm going to play her now. No, she's gone. Where did she go? All right, I'm not going to play Cave Girl. I'm going to play Danny Echo. There we go. We'll have Cave Girl in a sec. Okay, I'm going to turn off the mic. You can phone in now. And you don't seem to mind.
I stay at home and help myself while you help yourself to someone else instead.
But I'm left behind, and you gave us dance hall. A wannabe laid by a 10-foot beast with fire-breathing genitals and 100 swollen seats. That's right.
There you go, a little taste of what you can expect Sunday afternoon at Victory Square at Hastings and Canby in downtown Vancouver for the annual CITR Victory Square Block Party going on all afternoon Sunday. Lots of free entertainment for you, so don't miss it. We heard Whitney Kay, Twin River, and Cave Girl started stuff off for us there. Time to take a look now at the Dave Radio Call Board featuring auditions, calls for crews, musicians, and other contributors for productions around Metro Vancouver. It is our belief that auditions announced here should be open to all genders, ethnicities, ages, and backgrounds. In fact, we encourage everyone to read for all roles. Evacuation Theatre is doing a brand new play, local, original. It's called The Old Haunt by Avery Burrow. This is a psychological ghost story set in the wilderness outside of Campbell River. They're looking for one male and three females, all kind of a youthful bent. The male should be able to play around 19. The females range from ages 10 to 23. So you don't have to be those ages, but you have to be believable at those ages. It's going to be happening at, well, we don't know where the production is going to be happening, but we know where their auditions are going to be tomorrow at Renegade at 2nd and Main. Metro Theater is looking for a Polly. They're doing Fawlty Towers in November, and they are looking for an actress in her 30s capable of doing an English accent to play the part of Polly, the beleaguered what do you call it? Housekeeping staff member of Fawlty Towers. And rehearsals start very soon. So send your headshot and resume to the director, Allison Schamberger, at Metro Theater. North Van Community Players is doing The 39 Steps, the comedic mystery adapted by Patrick Barlow based on the Alfred Hitchcock movie. That's happening at Hendry Hall in North Vancouver. The play goes in February. The auditions are in October. And TracyLabrosse at gmail.com is the contact. Vital Spark Theater at Jericho is doing an afternoon of poetry on Sunday, September 20th, and they're asking you to submit your ideas. If you have a favorite piece of poetry or verse that you would like to hear read aloud by experienced actors, submit the title and author to vitalsparktheater.com. Fighting Chance Productions doing a musical called Murder Ballad, and that's happening in November. They're looking for a male and a female who can sing in a rock pop style. So you send your headshot and resume to fightingchanceproductions.ca. Heathers, the musical, is happening in January. The auditions are in about a week. This is going to be directed by David C. Jones, one of the shining stars of the Vancouver theater community, and he's doing it in conjunction with Frolicking Divas, and that is going to be on stage at the York Theater in January. The auditions are next week, and you can send your information to heathersvancouver@gmail.com. And there's a special note: this casting is open to all ethnicities. It is the director's intention to cast this show as diversely as possible, so please help spread the word. Monumental Theatre doing Ugly, the other Cinderella story. This is an original musical by Anastasia Unger and Lauren Trotzuk. And that is, I hope I said that right. And that is happening in October in Langley. And the auditions are on September the 8th. This is an all-original musical retelling of the Cinderella story from the point of view of the stepsisters. And right now they are specifically looking for an actor who can play the role of Thomas, a tenor or baritone playing the stable boy. Kind and noble, the character notes on that one. Oh, we're still going. We've got lots here. Art Shop Productions and Beauty Shop Dolls doing Sing, a historical journey through music for audiences ages 5 to 12. And they're looking for two performers, a male and female, between the ages of 20 and 35 with musical theater background who can act and sing and play an instrument. Specifically, they want the male to play guitar and the female to play any instrument that that she is proficient at is good. And this is an educational show that we'll be playing at schools. Tells the story of the last 100 years of music through song, comedy, dance, and storytelling. West Van Theater. Theater West Van is doing A Murder is Announced by Agatha Christie. And you can contact the K Meek Studio Theater for more information on that. Royal Canadian Theater Company doing Love, Sex, and the IRS, and the audition passed for that one, so I didn't need to read that one. This one's coming up in a couple of weeks. Vagabond Players doing Over the River and Through the Woods, and that's a show that's going to be happening in February in New Westminster, and their auditions are the 20th and 24th. Two Fly Productions, Little Miss Glitz, their auditions are also at the end of the month. And then we've got a play in Mission, and we've passed the date for that as well. Theater in the Country in Maple Ridge is doing a musical version of It's a Wonderful Life, and that's going to be played around Christmas time from November 27th to December 20th. Auditions are September 12th in Maple Ridge, and you can go to theaterinthecountry.com for more information. Metro Theater is still looking for guys for Sleeping Beauty, the Christmas panto. So they're having a special audition on Wednesday, September 16th at the Metro Theater stage at 7 o'clock. So any males of any age who are interested in performing in the Christmas panto at Metro Theater, get in touch with them. And finally, North Van Community Players also doing a Christmas panto performed, written and directed by friend of the show Peter Zednik. And it's called The Little Mermaid, and it's going to be on at the theater at Hendry Hall in North Vancouver at Christmas time. The auditions are September 13th and 14th. All roles are open to both male and female performers, and performers of all ages are encouraged to audition. For details on these and the other audition notice, go to VancouverActorsGuide.com or Vancouver Public Library at VPL.ca. And if you have a notice that you would like read on the air, share it on the Dave Radio Facebook page or email DaveRadioPodcast@Hotmail.com. Okay, we still have a pair of tickets to give away for Shakespeare's Rebel at Bard on the Beach. Just give us a call, 604-822-2487. And we're going to take a break, and then we're going to hear some more music of what you can hear at the Fairview Pub tonight. So stick around.
About fashion. We asked CITR student executive and fashion expert Jonathan Q what fashion means to him.
Like, it's just aesthetically something that's so ostentatious. Typically. I mean, because of course, I mean, it's also, you know, I mean, when you say fashion, I think people are talking explicitly about consumerism as opposed to someone who buys, like, you know, let's say, you know, someone buys it.
If you really want to know more about fashion, come on down to CITR in the Student Union Building of UBC and pick up some of our merchandise à la mode. Nous avons t-shirts, sweatshirts, socks, and coffee mugs.
But it's also very aesthetically gripping.
To keep you styling in support of the station you love. Isn't that right, Jonathan?
Well, actually, is it? Because, I mean, you know, I was going to say because of the cultural vacuum that we exist within. But then, you know, really, fashion today is kind of derived from the European idea of couture. And that's been around for centuries.
This week on the Arts Report, film, theater, dance, books, visual art, and more. Every Wednesday at 5 p.m., the Arts Reporters explore what's fun, fascinating, campy, or critical in the Vancouver art scene. You can find bonus content on our Mixcloud, Facebook, and Twitter. Got an idea for a review, interview, or original production? Email arts@citr.ca. Listen Wednesdays at 5 p.m. or anytime on citr.ca.
Okay, we're just about out of time. Don't forget tonight and tomorrow night at the Fairview Pub on West Broadway. It's the Pop International Pop Overthrow Vancouver. And one of the bands playing tomorrow night at the Fairview is our dear friend Janice McKenzie and her band, The Diviners.
So blue, so blue, land of hope through the thunder. In a new land, take my hand, looking forward and beyond. This will be our home. We'll be a picture.
That's our show. Thanks for spending your lunch hour with us. Our special shout out this week goes to friend of the show, Nick Bradbury, who received the EV Young Award for Most Outstanding Performance in Oliver at Theater Under the Stars this summer. Remember, if you have a show that needs audience, an audition that needs actors, a class that needs students, a film shoot that needs background, we're here for you. Email us at daveradiopodcast@hotmail.com or share it on our Facebook page. And if you missed this or any other of our programs, just you want to hear it again, go to citr.ca, go to shows and podcasts under the programming tab. Eleanor and Erica are up next, or at least Eleanor's here, with Femme Concept. And don't forget, Napkin Boy at 3:30 with Nardwar the Human Serviette presents. And join us on Sunday at Hastings and Canby for the Victory Square Block Party. and Thursday night at Bard or at the Fringe on Gravel Island. This show will be preempted next week for a live concert, Ace Martin's Live at Lunch. So Dave Radio will return in 2 weeks at this time. Bye bye.
Playing content with artistic and cultural merit, and sometimes that category includes material which can be construed as offensive. For those who have children nearby or are sensitive to provocative material, the following broadcast may have strong language, themes, or be otherwise objectionable. Please consider tuning out and revisiting CITR after this program.
Celebrate the end of summer and support non-profit media organizations with a splurge of local bands.
Woolworm, Ramsey, Other Jesus, Cave Girl, Gal Grayson, Fake Tears, Whitney Kay, Twin River.
As well as Christy Lee and DJs Owen Ellis and BBU.
Come listen to performers or tune in to 101.9 FM or CITR.ca for an all-day live broadcast with plenty of on-air personalities and interviews with the bands.
Help us make it the best Sunday of September, the Victory Square Block Party, September 6th from 2 to 9 p.m.
Do you like laughing, hilarity, radical thought-provoking creativity, and laughing? UBC Improv is UBC's home for improvisational comedy, theater made up on the spot. Like us on Facebook to learn when our next shows are. Search for us on YouTube for our film sketches. And follow us on Twitter because we want the followers. UBC Improv. Insert cheesy slogan here. Let's get it on.